Hi, you're listening to the TL Podcast. My name is Thomas Le Huyen, and I am interviewing someone who seems ordinary, but who is achieving extraordinary things. That is the quest of this interview. Hi, Chris. I'm here with Chris Barnes. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, Thomas. Yourself?
From the Wisbury Peninsula office, a monster of an office. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm loving life.
Man, from the day I first trained you, I was looking forward to having this conversation.
Really?
This is the day, yes, because I could see this is a champion. This is a guy that is going to be winning awards. So let's go through the being the Rookie of the Year. This is a huge award because there's a lot of rookies. The rookies are not just in the sales department. It's in every field. So
yeah,
could be receptionists. It could be. And so you're really fighting a lot of people who are trying to fulfill their duties. Yeah?
Sure.
Now, Chris, before we start, take us through the emotions of the night before you got to win and then when you got your win.
Okay, before I'll go far back as to when I got nominated.
Yes.
That was obviously a bit of a surprise for me.
Yeah.
Being the nature of the person I am and how I was sort of approaching that end of year period was that I was just head down, bum up, working away.
Yep.
So I wasn't necessarily focused on any sort of accolades, awards, or getting recognition for the work done.
Yes.
Just doing it for the sake of doing it,
yes.
You know, delayed gratification and all. So, first of all, absolute immense privilege to be nominated because, as I probably alluded to on the night, I found probably the majority of the recognition in that, the fact that my colleagues, my leaders, my whoever was that nominated me has done so.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, yeah.
So on the night, were you excited or were you thinking, oh, man, if I don't win how do I explain? How was it?
Look, and this is not to take away from the gravity of the award.
Yes.
But I didn't care if I won or not.
Yes.
I cared that I'd done what took to get nominated.
Yes.
And then obviously winning, once you're there on the night, it's out of your hands. Technically, yeah. The decision had already been made behind doors.
I get that. But you're still feeling that anxiety, that excitement too, because we're going to talk about this, but your wife's made some big sacrifices for you to be there. So you're thinking too, like, you know, if I don't win this, I might let her hurt down, right? So
yeah, exactly.
It's not just that. And then suddenly, that's it. Your name's called. You're the winner. How was that then? What's going through your head?
It was a bit surreal because obviously, being so new to the company, I didn't have a good gauge of every individual within the network. So I didn't actually know anything about the other contestants or the hard work they've put in all through the years. But obviously, I know it must have been pretty serious to be up there nominated alongside myself. It was just surreal. Walking up there, it was just a bit of a... it was like a time lapse between getting my name called and then 3 seconds later, I'm blabbing away on stage.
Yeah.
trying to put together a coherent 2-minute speech or something.
Yeah. Yes, yes. So that was a nice speech you made too. So let's have a look at now the story of Chris Barnes. Let's start with how you run a day. I mean, to be a rookie in sales, let's have a look at how you run the day. Now, you're going to be sharing some techniques. You may not want to share everything, but you understand that Wisbury, we're all about, you know, sharing and caring about everybody else. Okay, so tell me a little bit about your day, when it starts and what you do in the day.
Okay, so generally start up early. Something sort of, I like to recoup a bit of the mornings for myself. I've refined it since day one to obviously now a year in. But morning is to myself, you know, a bit of personal time, either cardio.
What is early?
Some cardio, 4:35,
yeah,
something around there. Yeah,
yes.
But okay. Up early, some workouts or something like that. Maybe even on some of the mornings where I don't have a workout plan, some self study, some reading, just myself, me time.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And then from there, generally, you know, some stuff with the kids, the family, do a bit of morning. I would usually get to work really early in those first couple months, and then I'd be ducking off home earlier in the afternoon, like 6 or 7 o'clock. But now I've found, again, I guess it's becoming self-aware and refining your schedule. I've been coming into work around that 7:30, 8, or potentially even a bit later, closer to the 8:30. But I find with the solitude of the afternoons and everyone sort of taking off around that 5, 6pm, I can really get a bulk amount of time done or setting up my next day and prep work done in the afternoon. So now I've pretty much just replaced a few extra hours in the morning to put them in the afternoon.
Yes.
And that's where I get a lot of my other prep work for the next day done, even something as much as writing out buyer emails, scheduling them to be released at a certain time at 9 a.m. the next morning, things like that. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to ask you, because we're going through very quickly. So you start at 4, 4.30, you do your work and you do your studies. And when you get to the office?
Around about that 8.
Okay, so, but you have children?
Yeah.
How many have you got? 16 or something?
3 boys. I wish I had more, but I've been cut off.
So how old are they?
9.
Yes.
8 and 3.
Yes. This is the interesting thing, because in the days when everyone's looking for balanced life, meaning I want to be rich and successful before I go to work, how do you find that balance? The 3 children need you, but you're already at the office at 8.
Yeah. I'm going to take a bit of a contrarian view to this.
Yes.
And it probably doesn't align too well with being contrarian.
Mate, don't worry too much, mate. We're not talking about that. We're talking about Chris Bunn today.
I don't believe in balance. If you've got something to go after, Steve Jobs never had balance. Mark Zuckerberg never had balance. I know the big hitters in my office, Anthony, Josh, things like that, Rod, Troy, when they were first starting their business, when Anthony and Josh first came into the industry, no one had balance. Balance comes in seasons. You know, the majority of people want balance day to day, 9 to 5. You know, I'm happy for that balance to be on a longer span. So yes. I put in 3 to 4 years of hard work, build the momentum, get the stone rolling, so to speak.
Yes.
And then have my balance, recoup my balance later.
Yes.
You know, it's delayed gratification.
Yes, I understand that. But what do you think the children thinking, and what do you think your wife's thinking? Can you share with us?
Yeah, no, definitely. So then the way I sort of reconcile that in my mind is that, balance as in they're losing a part of you, but they're also getting, it's a pie. You never changes the size of it, just where you divvy up the slices. So what they're losing from me in terms of an hour here or an hour there, they have someone to look up to. It works better for their character development.
Yes.
I'd much rather them, you know, look at me and go, that's my dad, that's this, that's that. You know, me be setting the example for them, be a beacon of, you know, what they should aspire to or at least surpass, than you know, the alternative.
Yes.
It's that's good. Look, it's not for everyone.
Yep.
But again, that's what I want.
Yes.
That's what I want. That's what's important to me. It's not important to others.
Yes.
Some people might find it important, you know, but most of the time, kids are doing sports. Wife's got her own career. She's chasing hard, gone from being a beauty technician to working in business, then to now working as a teacher's aide and special needs kids, and now is almost finished her primary school teaching.
Yes.
And she's chasing that career. I'm obviously chasing this one. And, yeah, we're both sort of trying to succeed, and the kids have got their things. So when I'm home, sometimes I go home at maybe 6 or 7. Kids are doing their homework. Wife's maybe doing some extra schoolwork or something for the teaching.
Yep.
That I figure I'm going to home, and if I was to sit there, I'd be doing whatever Joe Schmo does and sit on the couch and flick through the channels, and, you know, it's not me. I'll come home, but when I'm home, one thing I have learned from the military and my time in that is that the ability to switch on and switch off when the job's on and the job's off.
Yes.
So I can ultra focus or hyper focus, whatever you'd call it. When you're home, you're with family. You're doing that.
Yes.
But then when you're at work, you're in.
Yep.
Yeah. That's it.
Focus. I can see it. So you're very much into quality time rather than just quantity of time with them.
That's
so. So people need to really understand that when you are at home with your children, it's their time, correct? So it's the things that you do with them. How did they take the winning of their father?
Yeah.
Because that has to vindicate every sacrifice that the whole family has done all throughout the year.
My kids are my biggest fans. I love it.
Yeah.
It's and I find it funny because it's something as a male, we don't take much part in birthing or raising the kids, but birthing them. It's my single greatest accomplishment that I'm most proud of in my life, being a dad.
Yes.
Like, that's it. There's nothing, there's no career that means more. There's no, certain workout in the gym that I smash that means more, that nothing. So,
yeah.
Obviously, their approval, their love for me is probably the most important thing to my life.
Yeah.
And that I'll sacrifice it anything for.
So you still haven't answered my question. So what did they say about you winning? Because on the night, that you're winning.
The kids don't say much.
I think that your winning excited you so much on the night. Man, I've never seen a guy bouncing all over the places. You were so excited. I thought, you see, that's what champions are like. When they work bloody hard. But when they have fun, oh my God, get out of their way.
Yeah, so the kids didn't say much. They're kids. Yeah. They said, oh, great job, Dad. And yeah. Proud of you and things like that. But they reinforce that in me. Every day I come home, I say, oh, boys, they ask, how was your day, Dad? Did you sell a house? I go, oh, yeah, or one or two, or, did this or do that. And they go, oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
And so they're always my biggest fans.
Okay. Yeah. All right, let's go back to the day then. So you're now at the office at 8 o'clock. What do you do?
Okay, so, this has been, for the most part, okay, because obviously the first year in real estate, you're bouncing all over the shop. Yes. Trying to find your way and your rhythm and yeah. But for the most part, get in there early, maybe clear some emails in the first half hour of the day. Try to morning, lunchtime and afternoons, always scroll the platforms to see what is new on, what's newly sold, what's newly come on, follow up some leads, send some emails. So that's probably your first half hour of the day.
Yep.
You know, from 8:30, if it's a day we've got a sales meeting, obviously we're doing that. Then from there, probably the first time block, so the first chunk of the day.
Yes.
On a Tuesday when I come in, where we've got no sales meetings, would be just prospecting.
Okay.
Prospecting. Either the big three, letter drops, door knocks, or calls.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and do you have a number? Do you, or it's just about the 2 or 3 hours?
Yeah. So I don't work in blocks. So, I find, like most people, you do lose focus. There becomes a point when you're maybe not being efficient. So I try to maybe stick to 45 minutes to an hour, grab a coffee, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then do it again.
Yes.
But and then, what I've obviously something that's good that my leader's been helping me with, my sales managers and yourself, is in this first year doing those block periods of times of prospecting and this and that, you obviously get an email that pops in that you kind of is a bit of a priority, then it kind of drags you away, or something else comes by, someone in your circle within the outside of the bubble of where you're working sort of says something, brings you into a conversation, and it's just that's probably one of my biggest things I've been focusing on recently, being self-aware of where my time's going and trying to run my day a bit better.
That's amazing. You're talking about a big, big subject, which is awareness of your own time. And champions do have that, where the people who lift their head up and go, oh, gee, it's 4, they've got no idea, right?
Yeah.
So but we're going a little bit too fast here. Your prospecting, is it cold? Is it warm? I mean, what do you do? Because a lot of people go, man, after a year, I only want people to call me. I'm not going out there. And it's a funny thing to have someone like you to say, every day, I've got that chunk where I'm just prospecting. Is it cold or warm?
Okay, so there's a few different categories.
Yes.
So obviously, if Josh, Anthony, Rod, Troy, someone has put me on one of their listings, it's prospecting around that, either 5-5-10s, calling the street, letter dropping, stuff like that.
Yes.
And then obviously, once all the crucial prospecting around our listings is done, my own cold prospecting would include a certain patch area I've identified myself as pretty lucrative, good turnover, mixture of different houses and, price ranges within that.
Yep.
that I prospect street after street, call them, door knock it, letter drop it, and just try to build a bit of familiarity in the area there.
Yep.
And then also, not much one for going after other people's listings, where I'll you know, try to poach other listings. But what I do is every time another agent's listing would go on the market,
yep,
I 100% do not touch that, do not call them, but I will prospect the street around it. So obviously, you know that there's a good chance of them, maybe themselves, because of having that one on the market,
yep,
uncovering a seller.
Yes.
Well, they're going to get more than one agent out, right?
Yeah.
So I'll let it drop that whole street and maybe 5, 5, 10 the other agent's listing.
Yeah, okay.
So then, you know, if another person does pop up on that street, which we've got no stock on, then they're going to get 2 or 3 agents out. And yep, my goal is just to be one of them.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, okay. So do you have a patch that you look after personally?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's not assigned to me. It's just something I came up with myself.
Yes.
I think it's roughly somewhere around the 850 to 900 or 950 homes.
Yes.
And I spent a bit of time researching the area of Umina.
Yes.
And it was a specific area that I thought, you know, had good turnover. A couple key factors went into it. Good turnover. Had houses, has villas, has stuff at lower price points, has stuff at higher price points, has stuff on slopes for people that don't want to be on the flat, has stuff on the flats,
okay,
close to shops,
okay,
a bit more private greenery in one section of it, and that's the area I sort of religiously.
Okay, so the line of prospecting you are after, you're not boutique, you're not focused on the price range, you really try to make sure you've got a market for everyone.
Every buyer.
Okay.
Because then...
So how do you work that 900? How often do you call them?
How often do I call them? So I usually call one street a week, right?
Okay, yeah.
No, sorry.
you won't be too many streets. And
no. No, you're right. Yeah, so I usually call that one street and yeah, then just work my way through the streets.
Yes.
And then circle back around and do the other streets.
Okay, so do you have a period of time, or does it take you a month, or 2 months, I mean, or 3 months?
Some streets have 15 homes in them, like, yeah, smaller ones.
No, but your 900, does it take you a month to take that and then go through?
I think about a month. Yes. About a month and a week or so, if I'm, yeah, pretty diligent, okay, with it. And obviously appointments and other things get into the mix.
Yeah, Alex Jordan, the guy that I really like, and I did a good podcast with him, he says, you know, sometimes the people who reject you, I keep on going back. So is that what you do too, or do you tend to avoid them? Because this is important. There's salespeople who will avoid the tough ones because they go, oh man, I've been rejected. They don't want to hear from me.
Yeah.
And Alex said, no, those are usually the ones who become my friends afterwards.
Yeah. No, look, it's obviously a sliding scale, right?
Yeah.
So if they outright tell me, they're like hard on me and they say they don't want to borrow me or anything like that, I'll keep being in the area, keep providing them info and maybe manage that relationship. Like if they abuse me and say, like, I call them up one day and say, don't call me, I might knock on their door, talk to them like that.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, I didn't call you. Look, obviously, you've got to be smart about it. You're there to foster a relationship, right?
Yes.
Like in a relationship with your wife or someone, if they tell you they don't like something and then you consistently do that one thing.
Yes.
Even if you're doing it with the best intentions, you're going to build bad rapport.
Yep.
So it's case by case.
Yes.
You know, I obviously look at how I can provide value. I pretty rarely ever call someone just for the sake of calling them. You know, yep, no one wants to be like, hey, just following up, just touching base. Has something changed since I last spoke to you a month ago?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but maybe if I've spoken to someone a month ago and they're not in the situation where they want to buy or sell, I'll drop a letter in their mailbox with our recent sales. Then they'll just go, oh, yeah, there's old mate again. You know, it's a touch point. They've seen me, my face, some results of our company, but it's not in your face.
Yes.
Like I'm trying to sales... You know, be salesy and sell them.
Yeah.
So
I get. So what else do you do with that 1,000?
1,000?
That 900, sorry.
Probably the only avenue that I haven't been consistent at lately.
Yes.
One of my biggest deficiencies, if I'm being self-aware again, is the social media. I haven't been, it's always been a bit of a hurdle.
Yes.
So obviously getting over that, even coming on this, was a bit crazy.
Yeah, you got to like yourself before you get onto something like this, mate.
I like myself fine. I'm really good one-on-one. But yeah, obviously the social media. So I think maybe if I was targeting that towards the area,
yes,
it'd be a good way to prospect one to many, a lot easier, a lot quicker.
Yes.
But yeah, it's just letter drops, door knocks, and calls is how I've been targeting that area so far.
Yep.
And then obviously when I do get a listing in those areas, just overserve, try to overdeliver.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so now you've done the prospecting in the morning. Usually that takes you the whole morning, right? Mm-hmm. So what do you do after that? I mean, you obviously have lunch, have a break. Do you go home?
Oh, yeah, I just eat at my desk and then usually, and then, you know, a few minutes here and there. And then in the afternoon, it would be appointments. Usually I've always got a couple appointments.
Really?
Yeah.
That's garbage. I mean, a lot of people are struggling to even have one a day. I mean, how do you do a couple?
I mean, it's... just the numbers take okay. care of themselves. You work, do the work, and the work will take care of you.
Okay. Like,
I don't know. Yeah, it's I just always manage to.
So they appointments for listing, they're, or they appointments for buys necessarily, or they are both.
Generally, both.
Yes.
So my focus recently,
yes,
has more turned towards listing.
Yes.
I'm trying to, obviously, you know, in the first 12 months of me being with the business. First 6 months, I was a buyer's agent, Benchy, yes, as you'd call it.
Yes.
And this last 6 months was the Rod and Troy putting me in the deep end with the listing. So I think out of my 33 sales for that 12 months, 9 of them were my own listings. The rest were properties I sold of other guys.
Yes.
So I'm trying to, you know, this year, one of my goals is to flip that around.
Yep.
So have it be more listings to,
yes,
yeah, yeah, okay, more of my own authentic listings and stuff like that. So obviously a lot of my appointments focus more towards appraisals. I do have the odd buyer ones here and there, and yeah.
So you go out to these soft appraisals as well as the future ones?
A couple.
Yes.
But again, yeah, yeah. Like obviously at this point in my career, I'm taking any and all appraisals.
Yes, that's correct.
But obviously I'm very conscious of how I prioritise.
Okay.
Like if I've got the opportunity, like in some respects, you could go out to a soft appraisal, but then you could make 25 prospecting calls and get a warm appraisal.
Yes.
So, yeah, obviously I do prioritise it well. Mm-hmm. If obviously if I've got nothing on then and I need to get out there, then I'll do the soft appraisal.
Yeah. Now, so what else do you do? When you prospect for buyers?
Prospect for buyers? Mainly, okay, so on a weekly span.
Yes.
Monday, callbacks to open homes and all of that.
Yep.
Right, and then some of the rest of the admin, exchanging contracts on something you might have sold over the weekend, doing all of that.
Yes.
Tuesday is my seller's day. So that's the day I usually would be meant to have off, but I come in and I just do a hell of a lot of seller prospecting.
So why do you do that? It's your day off. Shouldn't you be at home enjoying yourself?
I mean, what am I going to do?
Are you stupid? I don't know. Maybe I should.
What am I going
to
do?
Maybe I have to cut it off from the podcast. You work too hard, man. Maybe that's the army training. I don't know.
I don't know, but yeah, sellers on Tuesdays. So all of that, either following up a seller or trying to get in contact with new sellers.
Yes.
Wednesdays, we do our sales meeting, group runs. So by then, it's like 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then, again, if you've got a couple of appointments, I line them up for Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah.
Thursdays is my buyer's day. I like that because Thursdays, it's not too far from the weekend. You get back in touch with certain buyers weekly. You touch base on what they've seen, what they need to see, what they haven't found that's suitable yet.
Yes.
You maybe by then, Thursday, any new properties that we've got that week have been launched online, so I can then suggest new properties to them.
Yes.
I can suggest they come by open homes. I can book in week further appointments for the following week.
Yes.
Right, and then that's Thursday. Friday is, again, training with the team, prepping for open homes, sending confirmation text, and then follow-on appointments, as well as trying to squeeze in a few hours of prospecting as well.
Yes, okay.
That's how my weekly.
And Saturday?
And then Saturdays, obviously, up early, doing into the office, maybe, again, reviewing a bit of the market when you first get in, sometimes even doing a little bit of self-role play or on the way to work or something like that around maybe, let's say you've got one of your open homes is the first time you're running it. You're running through in your head what objections you're going to get, what buyers are going to say, what they're going to think, details or stats of the property, so that when you do get there, you're at least sort of somewhat knowledgeable of,
yes,
of what you meant.
Yeah, I understand.
Know your product.
So how you've When you started recruit training, I really loved the quality of yours, but there was a little bit of that rigidity in you in from the army. So, how refreshing it is for me now to see something really solid about you today, and also something that's very grounded. But before we talk about this, can I just ask you, how different and how relevant is recruit training to what you're doing every day?
How different?
The recruit training course, how is it relevant to the things you do every day now?
Okay, it's the basics. I mean, it's the basics. Obviously, there's no secret.
Do you remember the recruit training? I think you were trembling every day,
mate. Oh, mate, wasn't it? I was like, what? I meant to train with the CEO of the company? So recruit training, it's like anything. It's foundations. Like when I was in the army, it's your basic training. It's anything. It's chippy when you go into TAFE and you learn that. It's the foundations. Again, real estate, like I was at a Zoom with Jet not long ago.
Yes.
And we spoke about some stuff, and the foundations of everything is what you build on. Real estate's not it's not complicated, but it's not easy either. So it's simple, but it's hard to do, hard to execute.
Yes.
Consistently. But foundations is what gets you there. So, I mean, you can't get anywhere without foundations. That's what you teach at the recruit course. I think it's more focused on the character of the person, which I liked. It's more focused on the how they, when you challenge us in the recruit course, how someone overcomes from that, where do they stumble and give up, and, you know, in some instances I was there, you know, some people put their books down and say, I can't do this, I give up. And
yes, yes.
It's. I know you don't actually care how well, for the most part, how well someone does.
Yes.
But what character they show when they trip and fall.
Don't tell them, mate. Don't tell them that. That's a secret.
Yeah, because I think I had a similar reaction too when I first started and met Rod and Troy.
Yes.
And then I had chats like this, and I'm very emotive person and energetic. And then I think they gave me a shot. We walked in first day. They said, all right, we're going to head into office 3 and do some role play. Rod ran me through some role play, and I specifically remember this day. And I think I could see the look on his face when he realized my skill level. But then I think I just went home that night, and I just didn't sleep. I just role played the whole night and a shit ton of coffee. Sorry. And came back in the next day, and I just showed the slightest bit of progress, which I think he saw, and it obviously just grew from there.
Yeah. But then after your recruit training, man, he must have seen the monster in you, because I saw the monster in you in there.
Yeah. I don't know. It's work ethic, I think, is my biggest USP.
Yes, I think so.
Work ethic. There's something
that's changing you, you know. You've been 12 months now. Can you just share with us the mindset of the first 12 months? Because something has changed in you, whether it is, well, from, I think, about the finalist nomination, or something's changing you just a touch before, but something has changed, Chris.
I think maybe in the early days it was just that getting into anything new, you have an immense amount of self-doubt.
Yes.
And it's almost just comes coincides with it that, you know, if you were to pick up carpentry and you didn't know anything about carpentry, you'd have a hell of a lot of self-doubt. You know you're going to work hard. You know all that. You know that your headspace is right. But I think just getting into real estate at the start, I had an immense amount of self-doubt. Oh, my God, look at my office. I've got Rod, I've got Troy, I've got Anthony, Josh, even Kieran.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm surprised he wasn't up for Rookie of the Year as well. I mean, even though he's got the years of sales experience, first year in, he was up there with Anthony and Josh. So, it's just like you say, I do well. But in comparison to what do they say, you are who you surround yourself with.
Yes.
Some of the five most people around you.
Yes.
And look what I've got around me. There's no way I didn't succeed. You put anyone into that environment, anyone that's got even a bit of work ethic and headspace, they're succeeding. Like with Rod, Troy, they're leading you both yin and yang. And
they're really yin and yang, isn't it?
Unreal.
Hey, one is your sergeant, so that didn't change for you, and then the other one is the artist.
Yeah.
I didn't say bullshit artist, but
no. You'll love that.
So, but what do you think then just changed? What clicked? Because I've been in a few sessions with you where I could see there was still doubt in his eyes. There was still like Chris, like still, you know, fidgety. And then now I see a grounded kind of dude.
The best way to have confidence in doing something is have a stack of undeniable evidence to know that you'll do well. And just as the months went on, you pick up a listing, you do something really well. Like one of the best feelings I've had to date was one I went out to about 3 months ago now. I missed the business and they, you know, hired this other agent because of the years of experience he had.
Yes.
I won't go into the details because I'll never talk down about another agent, but he just didn't give them the experience they were looking for and the result.
Yes.
So I kept in contact, kept prospecting, yes, following up with them. At that period where their agency agreement was over, they decided to give me a go and give me the business. 11 days we sold it off market with the team.
Yes.
For $70,000 higher than the highest offer the other agent got after 3 months on the market.
Yeah.
And it was just that just in moments like those instill a lot of conviction in you that, okay, you're doing something right. And
yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you just get in there, you have an honest conversation with them about where it's likely to go from there and then what you're going to do differently. And then you just,
you keep on doing the action.
What's it called? Say what you do, do what you say.
Yeah. And if you keep on doing the actions, that's the perfect definition of serendipity. You know, good things will happen, you know?
Mm. Yeah, so little moments like that.
Yes.
Or a good review or something like that just builds confidence in you. And then you realize, hang on, I can do this. And then the highs feel high and the lows don't feel so low. And you keep cracking on.
Yeah. What was the commission that you brought in the last quarter of the year?
The last quarter... Okay, it was
200 and something. I forgot the number.
Yeah, like something like that. I think the best one was was the middle of the year, and it was like 300 and something, 350 or something like 350 that.
350 in the middle of the year, and then it was 240 or something. Yeah, something
towards the
last quarter. Yeah,
yeah,
that's crazy. You know, for a guy who's been in business for 12 months, people say that's not possible. There has to be two Chris's working under the same name. Yeah. But people need to know you have no team, right? You work by yourself.
Yeah.
List and you sell. You do your own stuff, right?
No,
you
don't definitely.
You don't have someone behind you.
Wouldn't say I'm at the point.
Like your wife's not at home prospecting for you, right?
No.
I'm just wanting to make sure we clarify these things.
Oh, I tell you what, we've got the agreement set up already. She wants a chunk of anything. If she runs into someone that needs to sell and she sends it to me, she wants to be able to go shopping and she wants to be able to...
wow, this is good.
So she's the one extorting me. She's her background, my wife's background's Maltese and Slovak, so...
Very hardworking.
Yeah, and she, you know, for all those out there, I mean this in the best way, but she's a wog, so she's a naturally good salesman.
Yes.
And she drives a hard bargain.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, so yeah.
How proud was she of you winning the award, man?
Pretty proud.
Yeah.
She's smitten, and she's always been my biggest supporter.
Yes.
And I was joking with her before there on the drive up saying, when I was preparing the speech, and I said, well, don't worry, I'm not going to win. I go, I've never won anything in my life. I've never even won when they were doing those free Mars bars in the wrappers. Like, I think I've put $10 in a pokey once and I've still lost that. So
yes.
I've never won anything in my life. So this is legit the first award I've ever won in my life.
Oh, wow. Because I know I met her and the first thing that hit me is like, how the hell do you put up with a guy who goes to work at 5 and it's never home? And Eva, her answer was just like so supportive.
Yeah.
So the win for her was a vindication of, yeah, I get it. The sacrifice that I go through all year long, it's worth it.
Yeah. Right? But she's been doing that for like not just this 12 months. I mean, you probably know because you know a bit of my story, but the last, you know, almost a decade I was in the military for, I was on deployment, exercise and stuff for probably anywhere from 8 to 10 months of those 12.
Right.
And that was for nine consecutive years.
Yeah.
So she's been doing this for a long time. She's what you would call a seasoned veteran, you know.
Yep.
So, you know, whilst you know, like high performing people in business and in sports, they just make what someone else would consider crazy their new normal, and that's just sort of what we've managed to establish.
Wow, Chris, I always end the podcast by asking one more question.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know you're leading a good life, an inspiring life?
How do I know I'm leading an inspiring life? My biggest sounding board for that would be my family. So, and it's pretty generic, and I'll explain a bit. If I ever feel like something's not right with them, either I'm not providing for them or they're not happy in how I sort of the man I'm becoming and or constantly evolving to be, then I know that something's off track, off canter, you know. Yeah, that's it. Like anything, I know comparison's the thief of joy, but you are the way you are based on your colleagues, your friends, your family, you know, and you just operate within that. And if ever I'm sort of out of whack or out of tune with, you know, that's why, because anyone can tell you who you are as a person and they don't really know you, but my wife and my kids, they know me. So if they tell me, hey, that's not you, that's not in your character, that's like, you know, I slept in one morning, didn't go to the gym, and the wife would say, come on, what's going on? Are you all right? Are you something going on? And yeah, they just keep me.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
But she doesn't see it as like, oh, you lazy piece of, you know.
Yeah.
She just goes, oh, okay, something's going on. Maybe there's a shift, or she, like, they, you know, spouses, they pick up on those small things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you know, don't laugh at a certain joke at a party, and she goes, oh, something's on his mind. He's not thinking straight. Or
that's amazing. Yeah. So it's great to hear you talk like this, because in real estate, it's not a lonely kind of game. Your family, your spouse, they're part of the game.
They are. They are. They're all part of it.
Mm. Oh, well, mate, thanks. You so much for today. Sure. I think it's a very, very good podcast. I think it's a very great set of information that you shared.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that you've got a long journey of success ahead of you, man. It's only the beginning. I
hope so. Yeah.
So you found now some grounding that I see. And from this grounding, you will see a lot of success ahead. Thank you.
Let's hope. Yeah, got some big shoes to fill, big people to chase.
Well done, Chris.
Thanks.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Thomas.
Bye. Bye-bye.